Well, good morning, church. It is the Sunday after Easter, but he is risen. All right, good job. Lots to still celebrate about the goodness of God this morning. My name is Grace Marie Ward. I'm the worship arts director here, and I'm excited to be here as we kick off this new series today called Good Soil. Now, some of you are probably in the same boat as me, but as I'm starting to get older, I'm starting to recognize the natural wear and tear of the body. Anybody? The teenagers are like, we don't know what you speak of. When I go and get checkups now, suddenly there are more things that I'm starting to think about, the importance of being in good health or in good condition, things that you should start thinking about when you're much younger, but you really start paying attention when you go now. And in fact, when I go get my checkup every year, you know, they hand me a card at the end of the visit, and it says, improve your health through knowledge. And I'm like, all right, I will improve my health through knowledge. And so it says things on there like screening test suggestions, health maintenance. Then over here on the side, it's like leading cause of death. I'm like, oh my goodness. And it was one thing when they would hand me the card when the age bracket on the card said, you know, 18 to 22 year olds. I'm like, all right. Important things to do. Get 8 hours of sleep. I'm like, no problem. I get like 12 at 20 years old. That's not an issue. And then as the age groups go on, they would, you know, they'd hand me a card, 23 to 28. I'm like, okay. And then, you know, 29 to 39. I'm like, all right, I'm getting older. Pay attention to these things. I went to the doctor last year. They said, have a great day. Improve your day, your health through knowledge. They handed me a card that said 40 to 64. I'm like, what happened? I'm like, is this true? Like, this is one giant category? They said, yeah, this is the category you're in now. And it's, you know, concerning at the top right where it says leading cause of death, heart disease, which I think people know that's the leading cause of death for women in my age bracket now. And it's a little concerning because I do have heart disease in my family. So I'm like, oh, that's nerve-wracking. And this past year, I went to the doctor and they just said, hey, we want to go check out a couple things and make sure your heart's in good condition. And before I go any further, my heart is in good condition and I got a very, very good checkup. So no worries there. But they sent me to the cardiologist, which meant I went into a room and got an ultrasound of my heart, which was fascinating and disgusting all at the same time, as you heard the sounds of the valves of your heart opening and pumping blood through your body. Very interesting. Then they send you to a room and they hook you up to a bunch of wires and cables and they put you on a treadmill and they say, run for a little while. And I said, I'm sorry, what? I don't do this on a good day. They're going to run and they're going to make the treadmill go up. And they said, we're trying to put your heart under as much stress as possible to see what condition it really is in. And I'm happy to report that I was able to leave knowing, whew, they said, your heart is in good condition. Keep doing what you're doing, but make sure to pay attention to it going on. It was a relief. Now, when we talk about the heart, besides the beating organ that is keeping us alive and the blood pumping through our bodies, the heart is understood as the epicenter of our emotions, our mind, and our will. It is the epicenter to all of our decision-making and feelings. Unlike our physical heart, where we can go to a cardiologist, run some tests, get a full report, there is not a machine for you to go to get hooked up to tell you if your heart is in good condition and soft towards spiritual things in your life. There's not somewhere you can go and get a good printout and read to know that you are doing well spiritually. Though I have suspicion that some spouses would be excited to take your spouse there and hook them up to it, am I right? That is not something that we have. The epicenter of our emotions, our mind, and our will being sensitive towards God is what we need when it comes to the condition of our spiritual hearts, our spiritual lives. But how can we really know the condition of that part of our lives? Well, Jesus told a parable that I believe is going to really help us understand this teaching behind our hearts being sensitive to who God is and the way that God is at work in the world. We're going to start this series called Good Soil, and for 4 weeks, we're going to walk through the different ways that people respond to who God is. And we're going to kind of start today by looking at the big picture and then narrow in on the first of the four soils. Now, this parable is found in three of the four Gospels, and it's known as the parable of the sower. the parable of the sower. And if you want to go and read all three accounts of this by different gospel writers, it's in Matthew 13, it's in Mark 4, and it's in Luke chapter 8. Now, anyone unfamiliar with what a parable is in Jesus' teaching, it's simply an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus would take a common, well-understood activity or a part of the everyday culture of the people around them, and he would teach them something about the kingdom of God. And in this parable of the sower that Jesus told, it's actually considered to be his very first parable. His very first parable, and many parables actually followed in his teaching. But he is revealing something to his followers. And so we're going to pick it up in Luke chapter 8. If you have your Bibles, follow along with me in Luke chapter 8 to look at Luke's account of this parable and Jesus' setting. But the setting is that multitudes of people have gathered around Jesus. They followed him from multiple towns. They've heard teachings. They've seen healings, and now they're like, teach us what this is all about. And Jesus is actually in the Sea of Galilee sitting in a boat teaching the crowd, and this is what it says in Luke chapter 8, 4 through 8. One day Jesus told a story in the form of a parable to a large crowd that had gathered from many towns to hear him. A farmer went out to plant his seed. As he scattered it across his field, some seed fell on a footpath where it was stepped on and the birds ate it. Other seed fell among rocks. It began to grow, but the plant soon wilted and died for lack of moisture. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up with it and choked out the tender plants. Still, other seed fell on the fertile soil. This seed grew and produced a crop that was 100 times as much as had been planted. When he had said this, he called out, "Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. There are three things that we identify immediately from the parable. There's a sower, there's seed, and there's soil. Say it with me. There's a sower, there's seed, and there's soil. And in these three things, this is what we see, the activity we see happening. However, I want us to notice first what we don't see. What we don't see is a farmer only sowing into the good soil. We don't see the farmer only sowing into the good soil. We notice that it falls on four types of ground around him in the field. We don't see the farmer sowing different types of seed for the different types of soil. No, it's the same seed being scattered everywhere in the field. And the field is seen as God's world. It goes out. Jesus clearly teaches that the sower lets it fall on the four soils. The four soils are the hardened soil, the rocky soil, the weedy soil, and the fertile soil. The four types of soil that we see here in this parable in Luke 8. Now, a lot of you know that I grew up on farmland here in South Carolina. Both sides of my family were farmers. And so I was very used to being around farm fields and certain seasons of planting and growing and harvesting. Now, I'll admit, most of my work that I did was at the kitchen table cleaning my plate after someone got some crop. You know, I'm enjoying the bounty of the field in that way. That's the most work I did. But I did do a little bit of shelling butter beans and shucking corn on the porch as well. But I also would like to say that my first ever job that I was paid for was working for a local tractor service that would repair the tractors that would go out and work in the field, known as Ward's Tractor Service, ran by my dad, Mike Ward. Shout out to him. He's still running that business today. But he recruited me at around 14 years old, and I helped him write checks and help keep the books there for a couple of summers when I was in high school. So I was really used to being around farm equipment and seeing the different combines and things that would go out and plow the fields and get things ready. And when we have this modern idea of farming in our mind, it was a bit different in Jesus' day. The agricultural practices were a bit different. In fact, here in the Middle East where Jesus is teaching, this area would be known as the Fertile Crescent, which is where the farming practices would have even began centuries before this parable was being taught. But in Jesus' day, there was no fossil fuels. There were no tractors. Sorry, Dad, you had to take up carpentry. There were no artificial fertilizers, no chemicals for pest control, no quick runs to Lowe's to get you some supplies. There was obviously care for the field, and we see that in the parable, but what we see is there is a farmer that goes out and he scatters the seed all around in the field. This was known as sowing. This was known as sowing, where they would take, the farmer would go out and he would scatter the seed everywhere. The term that we use today for broadcasting, when you take video and transmit it from one place to another, known as broadcasting, it is rooted in the understanding of these farming practices, that they would take the seed and they would broadcast it everywhere, all around, and wherever it fell, it fell. Now, when Jesus told this parable, there was a crowd of people there, and obviously they did not fully understand what was happening. They didn't fully understand what Jesus wanted them to get out of this parable. They understood sowing. They understood a farmer going out and scattering seed. But what did he really want them to understand? The disciples themselves were confused. And Jesus goes on to explain the parable in this way. Let's pick it up in verse 11, Luke 8, 11. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is God's word. The seeds that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message only to have the devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. The seeds on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while, then they fall away when they face temptation. The seeds that fell among the thorns represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. And so they never grow into maturity. And the seeds that fell on the good soil represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest. You see, the three areas we identified earlier, the sower, the seed, and the soil, Jesus really defines, because he defines the field as God's world. And he defines the field as God's world by saying that the sower, the one scattering the seed, is the one sharing God's message with others. It's God's word going out into the world. God's truth, Jesus' teachings going out into the world. And then we see the seed is identified specifically as God's word. The seed is God's word that is being sown out into the field. And then we see that the soil is the heart of the hearer. The soil is the person receiving God's word. It's crucial for us to realize and understand in the teaching of this parable that with the four soils, all were given the same type of seed. It was scattered by the sower, far and wide and generously, yet it only grew and flourished in one soil. It was only one soil that was prepared to receive it. So the question we need to consider when we're looking at this parable is, how can the other three soils become like the good soil? What work must be done? What barriers may be there? What needs to be addressed? And maybe, is it even possible? Maybe that's some of the questions we have about this parable. How can God's word and the good news about the kingdom be accepted and received by those who hear it? How can it be accepted and received by those who hear it? To do that, we're going to narrow in on just one of the four today, and it's the footpath, as it's talked about in the passage. The footpath, which as we see, will be the hardened soil. The hardened soil. Luke 8, verse 12 says this. I want to read this again about that. It says, the seeds that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message only to have the devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. You see, what we have to realize is that it's never a problem with the seed. It's a problem with the soil. It's never a problem with the seed. It's a problem with the soil. It's never a problem with the word. It's a problem with the heart. It's never a problem with the truth of God that exists in this world and how everything functions and declares what truth is. It's not a problem with that. It's a problem with the heart of the hearer. When we think about the footpath, you know, what was really meant by a footpath? The footpath, simply put, was the road or the path that would cut through a field or be on the edges of a field that the people would walk through to travel from one field to the other, or it was the way the farmer would walk as they were scattering the seeds about. The thing about the footpath we have to recognize is that it would have been beaten down dirt, hardened, beaten down dirt because of how often it had been stepped on. It would have been totally discounted as a potential place for anything to be harvested. And any seed that would fall there upon this hardened soil would just sit on top because it couldn't go down. It was too hard. And eventually the birds would come away and take it. It couldn't break through the hard ground. What is Jesus saying the problem is? What's the problem with this hardened soil? If we want this hardened soil to ever become good soil, we got to identify it. The problem with the hardened soil and the hardened heart is resistance. There is a resistance to hearing what God has to say. Jesus says that this soil represents those who hear the word of God, but the heart is too hard for it to break in and be received. In the meantime, the enemy, the devil, swoops in and will use every opportunity to prevent that seed from taking root in the heart and lives of the hearers. But the heart is resistant to the word. The seed doesn't go into the ground because the footpath is too hardened to receive it, as the condition of the heart prevents the word from breaking in and taking root. A hardened heart. If you, when you were younger, if you remember what it was like maybe to have siblings or friends when you were little, and one of the most frustrating things somebody could do to you when they didn't want to listen to you anymore was put their fingers in their ears, you know? And on top of that, they were, I can't hear you. Na, 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 na. And they start singing. I mean, there was nothing more. My brothers would do that. I'm like, I'm going to hit somebody. Like, don't do that. Don't do that. It's so frustrating. But as kids, that's how you let somebody know, I'm not listening to you anymore. The problem is adults have learned to fake it. Am I right? I don't sit in a meeting with Pastor Jeff and Michael and say, I can't hear you. I'm not doing that event. I'm tired. I don't do that. The way we do it as adults is we'll sit there, we know how to fake it. We know how to look like we're being receptive, but it'll show up in our inaction. What we end up doing will show whether we have actually received it or not, whether we have had the heart to obey. Zechariah 7, 11 through 12 says this. He's the prophet to the people of God, and he says this. Your ancestors refused to listen to this message. They stubbornly turned away and put their fingers in their ears to keep from hearing. They made their hearts as hard as stone so they could not hear the instructions or the messages that the Lord of Heaven's armies had sent them by his Spirit through the earlier prophets. That is why the Lord of Heaven's armies was so angry at them. You see, the devil, God's enemy, will use every opportunity to distract you from God's word. He will use every opportunity to get you to resist the good news of the kingdom in your life to take root. You know why? He knows the power of the seed. Satan knows the power of God's word that can break through the hardened ground, that can take root, that can till up the ground, the love of God that can soften the heart and can bring a life of incredible joy and fruitfulness for the kingdom of God. He knows that that is possible, so he'll do what he can to keep you from that and have a hardened heart. How does he do it? I think when pain enters your heart, he will be at work making you question God's goodness. A layer of hardness towards God. When pride enters your heart, he will make you think that you have no need for God. When doubt enters your heart, he will make you think that living by faith is so foolish. When temptation enters your heart, he will make you think that you may miss out if you don't join in. And then when shame enters your heart, he will make you think you are too far gone and unworthy anyways. You see, the devil will do what he can to keep you resistant towards God. For your heart to be so hardened towards his love and his grace that nothing good can take root in your life. Ephesians 4:18 says it this way when describing those who are resistant to God. It says, their minds are full of darkness. They wander from the truth. They wander from the life that God gives because they have closed their minds and they have hardened their hearts against him. They have hardened their hearts against him. This word hardened used here in this passage in the Greek is the word porosis. And this word porosis actually means to cover with a callus or to thicken and become hardened. Anybody in here who works with their hands know what a callus is like, right? I think about it when I first started playing guitar. I would play guitar and it would hurt so bad to push the strings down. You're like, G, C, oh man, my fingers hurt so bad. People would say, oh, keep at it. You're gonna build calluses on the end of your fingers. I'm like, okay. So I would keep doing it. Before long, I did have calluses built up on the tips of my fingers to the point where I would not feel the pain of pushing the strings down anymore. You see, in this passage, the idea of a hardened heart is because there had been a repeated turning away from God, a building up of resistance, a repeated saying no to God, a repeated rejection of the good news of salvation to the point when there's absolute numbness. People with a hardened heart are like, I don't feel anything. Some of y'all out there are like, I wish she'd be quiet, I'm hungry. Some of you out there are like, ain't no chance I'm listening to this because I don't believe any of this stuff. A hardened heart doesn't feel anything towards God's word or God's truth anymore in their life. Maybe at one point you felt a sensitivity towards God and your sin and your brokenness and your need for God, but no more. You've built up a resistance, a calloused and a hardened heart. Jesus is reminding us that there is a problem with the soil, and it's the heart. But Jesus is also saying, we can't miss this, Jesus is also saying that there's possibility. There's possibility. There's four soils here, and the hardened soil doesn't have to stay hardened soil. Jesus is saying there is potential with all the ground that the seed has fell upon. I want you to know this today and everyone to hear this truth, that Jesus, who's teaching this parable, is a generous farmer. He is a gracious farmer, and he's seen here in this parable. He is scattering the seed of the good news of the kingdom of God for everybody, even falling on the road, the rocks, and the weeds. And if you are a hearer of his word today, there is hope. There is hope for hardened heart. There is hope for the hardened heart because hard soil can become good soil in the hands of a loving God. Amen? Hard soil can become good soil in the hands of a loving God. There's hope for the hardened heart. All throughout the Bible, we actually see incredible images of this. Opportunities for those who have once been hard-hearted, For those who have been resisting and rejecting God and his good news, we see beautiful images of God showing that you don't have to stay that way. That the God of heaven can break through and do something amazing. Here are some passages that have stood out to me that I just want to read some of these back to back for us. The first one is in Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. It says this, I said, plant the good seeds of righteousness and you will harvest a crop of love. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. Plow up the hard ground of your heart. We can invite God to do a work in our hearts and lives to break through. Ezekiel 36, 26 says this, and I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony and stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. This is the business that God, this is what God does. He changes the heart. He changes the hardened heart. Hebrews 3 says this, be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. James 1, 21 through 22 says this, so get rid of all filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word that God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. Don't just listen to God's word. There's a lot of people here today that hear it. We're saying it. We're reading it. We're reading this teaching of Jesus about the kingdom of God. A lot of you are hearing it. Don't just listen. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. The truth is that in hearing God's word, you can either reject and deny or receive and believe. Every person has the opportunity to reject and deny or receive and believe. There is hope even for the hardened heart. You can turn away from a life of resisting God, where nothing is breaking through, into a life of receiving him. Why? Maybe it's because some of you need to know, it's because he is more than willing to receive you. Maybe the reason you have been resistant is because you feel like, oh, I'm just, you know, no one's gonna believe that about me. No one thinks I'm good crop. No one thinks anything could happen in my life. I've kind of taken up the mantle of being, you know, the tough one whose mind is closed to who God is and what God could do in my heart and in my life. There's a resistance there, but maybe you need to know that the God of heaven will receive you, that he has scattered the seed for everybody to hear. You just simply can respond and allow him to begin to turn over the hardness of your heart with the goodness and the grace of his love. When I was in high school, before I was a Christian, a couple weeks before, the friend of mine who was really praying for me and eventually led me to the Lord, it was 2 weeks before I gave my life to Christ, but over the weekend I found this letter, and she wrote this letter to me. And the letter simply is just a bunch of scripture that she wrote and just listed them out for me to read. And then at the end of it, she says, I know right now you're filled with a lot of questions, that you're searching for answers, but be patient. And most importantly, pray. God will come through. Just don't put it off, because time will pass you by. Don't put it off, because time will pass you by. And it was within 2 weeks that I gave my life to Christ. You see, she was faithfully sowing into the hardened soil. I had so many people in my life at that point around me, as far as friends go, that had just completely written me off. They knew I was resistant. They knew I was hardened. They knew I was like not something you should really invest in, because I wasn't going to be someone to surrender to God. but she sowed faithfully anyways. Notice that when you walked in today, we did not sort you in sections of deciding this person is responding to God, this person probably won't. I mean, this person hasn't responded to God all weekend, so they're probably not going to respond today. Or this person is never going to allow God to work in their life, so we just won't even let them in. No. What did we do? We say, come on in. We're so glad you're here. We're going to praise God for who he is. We're going to pray and we're going to seek God together. We're going to shout the news of the kingdom of God, that Jesus brings salvation for all people if we receive it. We said, come on in and hear the good news of the kingdom. It's for everybody. He scatters the seed far and wide for everybody. Every week when we come together, we have faithful volunteers and team members that come in this room and they video what's happening in here so that we can broadcast out there the ways that God is at work. We want the news of the kingdom of God and what his scripture teaches and his word to go far and wide. We want to be faithful to that. It is my prayer that when people who have hardened hearts just happen to be on YouTube during the week or just happen to be on Facebook Live and we're rebroadcasting the services, that it'll fall on someone's ears that wasn't necessarily planning on doing it. Maybe you shared the service and we're putting it out there because we want people to experience the goodness of God. We want the fruit. We want the seed to take root in people's lives so fruit can come from their life. It scares me to think that possibly every week it looks like people are hearing God's word over and over and over again, but it's falling on hardened hearts because you're not receiving it. I'm telling you today that there is hope for the hardened heart, that all you need to do is receive and believe and let him begin to do that hard work. He'll do it. For those of you who maybe feel that's where you are, you need to know that good news is for you. You don't have to stay the way you are. For some of you, you need to know and believe and hear that the people in your life who have hardened hearts, that there's hope for them. I was really convicted working on this message this week because I'm like, man, there's definitely some people that I've kind of like, yeah, it doesn't matter how much I sow. They've pretty much let me know where they are. So maybe today what we need to do is we need to commit to sowing. We need to commit to sowing the good news in the kingdom everywhere we go into the hearts of all people. Because when we sow in faith, don't we? We don't sow and share the good news of the kingdom of God only to people that we think are going to respond. Jesus said it's for everybody, and it's up to the hearts of people to receive it and respond. We sow in faith our prayers for the lost, the broken, and the hurting. We sow in faith our presence with people needing to be reminded of God's presence. We sow in faith our gifts that we sacrificially give to the cause of the kingdom. We sow in faith our service to people who need to know that God loves and cares for them. We sow in faith our witness to God's life-changing grace in our own lives. We sow in faith, even into the hard ground. Church, have we somehow forgotten that the good news of the kingdom, that the good seed is meant to be scattered throughout the whole world, even to the ones who vote differently than us, believe differently than us, sexually identify differently than us, check gender boxes differently than us, live morally differently than us, act more religious than us? No, the seed falls on the rocks, the roads, the weeds, and the good soil, because we believe the God of heaven can bring life even out of the darkest places. We sow in faith, and we pray that even the hardest hearts would accept him and believe and be saved. There's a company that we work with in our denomination, the Global Methodist Church, called Seedbed, and they provide lots of resources to churches. And they have this prayer called the Sower's Creed. And I think it's a powerful commitment for us to commit to being people who sow the good news of the gospel everywhere we go. And I want to read this prayer for us this morning. It'll be on the screens. You can read and follow along. It says this: today I sow for a great awakening. Today I stake everything on the promise of the Word of God. I depend entirely on the power of the Holy Spirit. I have the same mind in me that was in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus is good news, and Jesus is in me, I am good news. Today I will sow the extravagance of the gospel everywhere I go and into everyone I meet. Today I will love others as Jesus has loved me. I will remember today that the tiniest seeds become the tallest trees, that the seeds of today become the shade of tomorrow, that the faith of right now becomes the future of the everlasting kingdom. Today I sow for a great awakening. See, as we come to the communion table this morning, we come to receive. We come to receive the broken body and the blood that was shed for us. We receive, but we also come believing that the body broken and the blood shed was shed for everybody. Jesus did not just shed his blood for an elite few. He shed his blood for humanity. And just as the seed is scattered out into the world for everybody to respond, the broken body and the blood of Jesus is for everybody to receive if they want to choose to receive and follow him with their whole hearts. Let's be a people committed to sowing the good news of the kingdom everywhere we go, because we believe that everyone is invited to the table of Christ. Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the good news of the kingdom. We thank you that the good news is made available for all people. Lord, I pray that this morning that we would commit to being sowers of the good news of the kingdom, that we would commit to scattering it far and wide, believing and trusting that you can break through to even the hardest of hearts. I pray that you would give us softened hearts today as we come to the table and receive your goodness and your grace. It's in the holy name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.